Please turn in your Bibles to that passage that we read from, Luke chapter 2. And our text again will be verses 25 to 35 as we look at this fourth song, Song of Simeon. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you hopefully have gathered from this morning's message, we're seeking to look at these events of Christmas with fresh eyes. We don't just want to come to this familiar story of Jesus and the manger without being reminded of the depths of these events and really how meaningful they are for us. There are many important things that took place during this time, which we find here within this passage once again. And we just want to briefly touch on them as they lead up to the events of our text. For example, we see that Jesus was circumcised. Why would that be? Why would Jesus, who's the Son of God, who's perfect, have to be circumcised? Why was there a need for the sacrifice to be presented at the temple? Well, the answer to all these questions is that Jesus came into this world to remove the sins of his people. He was placed under the sentence of the law. As Galatians chapter 4 says, he was born of a woman, born under the law. So when Jesus was circumcised, it meant that he was to accomplish the work that the Father had set out for him to do. He submitted to circumcision because it was part of his required obedience. And without this obedience, he would have not been the Savior. That's why he is called Jesus here. He's named Jesus during this occasion because he would be the one to save his people from their sins. This, of course, also involved Mary's purification. According to Leviticus chapter 12, which Luke quotes from in the context here, a woman would be considered unclean after childbirth. And so this also shows the humility and the obedience of Jesus' mother, as Mary and Joseph were both righteous before God. But while they brought their son to the temple to be dedicated according to the law, we have this amazing prophecy which is given by Simeon. And we want to look at this song as a testimony. Simeon here is a credible witness who's giving spirit-inspired testimony about the Christ. So we want to consider it this afternoon under 2 points. First of all, his testimony shows how God preserves faith. God preserves faith in dark times and in the worst places in all of history. And if we know anything about the Gospels, you know that this was a time of great apostasy in the land of Israel. Religion was at its lowest when Christ entered this world. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees dominated the life of the Israelites. They brought their own brand of Judaism, which was really totally the opposite of the faith of Abraham or the faith of David. They desired to be seen by men. And we read how they would pray in the street corners so that people would look at them and praise them for what they did. They gave their alms with the sound of trumpets so that everyone could see how they would give their money. As John's Gospel says, some of them did believe that Jesus was the Christ, but for fear of their reputation amongst the Jews, they didn't openly confess him. Not all of them were like this. We read that there were a few that wanted to identify with Christ, but the majority of them didn't. They were proud hypocrites. And with their hypocrisy, we also read in the Gospels that they were very condescending. They were very judgmental of others. They thought that they were righteous, and they looked down on sinners who were below them. And they were very legalistic. They were always concerned about some minor points of the law. They were blind guides. Jesus said that they would strain gnats and swallow a camel. And you know this, of course, they had hundreds and hundreds of different laws that had nothing to do with what the Bible said. And they bound people to them. And they gave a burden that other people couldn't carry. Jesus, of course, had to demolish their interpretation of the law, as both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke record for us. So these were dark times in history. But you know, the Lord never leaves Himself entirely without a witness. He always makes sure that there is faith on the earth. And we see this here in this man, Simeon, who we really don't know much about. He all of a sudden shows up in this narrative. Luke tells us that he lived in Jerusalem. He was righteous, meaning he lived by God's standards. Just like we have seen many of these individuals who are spoken of here in the drama of the unfolding mystery of God's redemption. People like Joseph and Mary, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Here was a righteous man, a devout man. Devout is an attitude. It's someone who fears God and is very careful to do what pleases the Lord. And furthermore, we learn that he was waiting for the Messiah. One thing that we shouldn't miss here is just how encouraging this is. God always provides encouragement throughout history. There are always bright pinholes of light in the midst of darkness. He always is present with His people as they look to Him in faith and they look forward to His coming. Simeon, we're told here, waited for God's consolation. Isn't that a beautiful expression of faith here? For the Lord had said to him that he would not taste death until he saw the Messiah. Waiting here in the Greek means to wait with anticipation on an ongoing basis. There was this continual frame of mind as the Holy Spirit had told him that this would come, and he waited for that consolation of Israel. What an amazing privilege this man had, as he knew it was coming, and he looked forward to it every day. But what we have to pay attention to here in this text is this, that God has always been at work throughout history. William Cowper has never said it better when he wrote those words in that hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. As we also live in dark times today, we're surrounded by spiritual darkness. And sometimes we might wonder why things are the way that they are. Why does God allow for so much evil? Why the troubles like there are right now in the East, like in that country, North Korea? There's some incredible, heart-wrenching stories from that country. Some blogs on the internet have posted some heart-wrenching footage of what actually takes place in that country. Things that you won't see on the news, but things that bloggers will put up of different videos of what has taken place in their concentration camps. There's some horrible things that are taking place in that country right now. And some of those political prisoners, we have to remember, are believers. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And yet even here, even in this terrible moment in time, God preserves His own as the gospel is going forth in this country and people are finding comfort in the Lord. It's an incredible thing. Or think of our own culture. It's incredibly sad that so many people celebrate this holiday for the wrong reason. They miss the point. Christmas is about toys. It's about gadgets. It's about family time. It's never about Christ who came into the world to die for sinners. And yet even here, congregation, we have to see that there are many who are waiting for their consolation. Many in our culture still are believers. And that's been that way in every age. For example, when Lot lived in Sodom in the midst of those who had given themselves over to homosexuality, he was the only one there. But God preserved him. The same can be said for Obadiah, who served in Ahab's house. He was the one who had fed all the prophets, the 400 prophets that he had hid in a cave. And Elijah said in those days when he was weak and tired, he said to the Lord, I'm the only one left. And they seek to take my life as well. But God said, no, Elijah, I still have preserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So it's so encouraging for us to know that God is still doing the same today, though there is so much evil in every corner of the world. There are still those who wait upon the Lord and who trust in Him. But this isn't just an encouragement to us. It's a challenge. Luke says that the Holy Spirit was upon this man. He was a Spirit-filled man. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death until he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. What that is also saying to us is that this man cared about the important thing in life. Not about trivial things or unimportant things. No, he cared about what the Spirit of God had revealed to him. That's one of the striking features of Luke's infancy narratives, is the godly men and women that surround this. Nobody in the world would choose these people. There was nothing special about them. There was nothing showy about Simeon. He was no sports icon. It's the same with Anna, who's spoken of later on in this text. She was no Britney Spears. She was an old godly widow who served the Lord and gave thanks for this day of Christ's appearing. And no one would disagree that we live in a day where there is a desperate need for these kind of role models. There's a desperate need for these kind of people within the church, of godly men and women. That applies to all of us here today. To be inspired by Simeon, a man full of the Spirit, and who waited for the Lord. That's a challenge to us. It's a challenge to you, seniors. As you look at your life, what is it that matters for you? What does your life exemplify before others in the church? Are you a person who is bothered by petty things, things that really are not essential? Or is your life characterized by a warm, vibrant love for the Lord, like this old man who desired the Lord most of all? Think about the kind of encouragement that was to Joseph and Mary when they saw this gentleman take the Son of God in his arms and say what he did to them. What a support that was for them. What an encouragement. As Luke says that Joseph and his mother marveled at what Simeon said. We also are to have that effect upon one another. We all influence one another. We all ought to encourage one another in the Lord by letting others know what is the most important to us. Is it our faith in the Lord? Or is it some pet peeve that we have? Is it mostly about our faith? Or is it mostly about the weather Is it mostly about the Jets? Is it mostly about our opinion? What an amazing privilege here that Simeon had, and what an amazing perspective of faith in the midst of so much darkness. As God used this man as a testimony of faith in a dark time, preserving the faith of his people in this day and age. Well, that secondly shows, that his testimony rather, shows the astonishing effect that Christ will have on many. His testimony shows the astonishing effect that Christ will have on many. And we see this in these amazing words of Simeon in his testimony of Christ. He says, "Now you are dismissing your servant." Sometimes this comes out in translations as a prayer, that you're giving me the permission to go. This is a statement of fact. He's saying, "Now you are giving me this opportunity to leave here according to what you have promised." And he says, "For you, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." You know, he could have said, "For my eyes have seen the one who saves." And he would have been perfectly legitimate in saying that. But his words are personal. This is a very touching scene. Just picture it in your minds, the way that Luke describes it here. Here's this elderly gentleman. He's holding this baby in his arms. He's looking at this little person, this little child. And he thanks God for what this child meant for him personally, but also for many other people. It's an amazing scene that we have here. This is what his testimony teaches us this afternoon, that faith is never something that's impersonal. Faith is not in some relic or article of religion. You know, like in Russia right now, there's this 5-kilometer lineup to worship this relic, supposed belt of Mary that she wore, which is said to bless you with fertility and to heal you. There's a 5-kilometer lineup as people are coming to worship this relic. That's not what faith is. Or putting our faith and trust in something like the Shroud of Turin, that cloth that covered Jesus' face. Neither is faith in some other person, like the Roman Catholic Church has taught for centuries about putting trust in the Virgin Mary. There was an article yesterday in the paper about a service that was taking place in Ontario to commemorate the feast held by Roman Catholics for the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. One of our stamps for this holiday season featured a picture of Mary on a stained glass window in this particular Roman Catholic church in Kingston. What a ridiculous idea that people put their faith and trust in Jesus' mother, even though she has absolutely nothing to do with our salvation. Neither does faith consist in what the Ukrainian Orthodox Church teaches, or any other Eastern Orthodox Church, in the traditions of the fathers, or icons, or in stained glass windows. Faith has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Nor is Simeon's testimony simply a cold and heartless confession of faith. He's not speaking here of Christ in the third person. He's not saying that Jesus is someone who saves people, as if this is just some known fact. Faith is not just giving intellectual assent to a document like a creed or a confession. Even though we are thankful for our creeds and confessions because they're faithful summaries of what the Bible teaches. His testimony to this child is personal. That's how this child affects people. He brings personal salvation. It's Christ himself who was trusted. It's the baby Jesus who was the salvation of His people. For example, when the wise men came to visit the child in Bethlehem, what is it that they did when they came there? We read that they bowed down and worshipped. They worshipped the King of the Jews. And a little later on in the Gospel, we have recorded that amazing moment when John the Baptist saw Jesus for the very first time. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to undo His bootstraps, but look to Him. Look to Him for salvation." Jesus Himself would say, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am that living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who brings eternal life to those who believe in Him." And that's what Jesus does. He has this effect on people. He brings about personal salvation. So how about you today? Do you have this personal relationship with Christ? This personal connection, the way that Simeon is holding this baby in his arms and having this personal connection with his Savior. Can you speak today of Him being your personal Savior? This is not just a catechism answer that you can give. But you can say for yourself that He's someone who you believe. He's your light. He's your salvation. May that be our response to what we see here, a personal faith in Him. But just because Christ is believed by some in this world doesn't mean that everyone will love Him. Just because the Savior was given as a light to the Gentiles doesn't mean that everyone loves that light. He also will have a negative effect. Simeon goes on to say to Mary, "This child is destined for the rising and the falling of many in Israel." The Christmas story isn't all just about that which is sweet and wonderful. As Christ entered into history, not everyone loved Him. In fact, a great majority of people didn't love Him. Even His own covenant people did not receive the light that He gave, and He became a stumbling block to them. One of the most frequently quoted Psalms that the New Testament writers quoted from is Psalm 118. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." He's a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. Simeon said, "The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Events would prove to reveal what was in the hearts of men. That's especially true of the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. There wouldn't be rejoicing over the light of salvation. There wouldn't be comfort. There would only be sorrow. There would be hardness of heart. Even Mary herself would feel the pain of her son's ministry, as Simon says to her specifically, "Yes, a sword will pierce your soul also." Christ would be a sign. He would be a sign against His own people. He would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with our grief. We see that all the way through His life, the opposition that He faced. And you know what? It's no different today. We're still within this struggle. We're still in this battle. There is an antithesis between the church and the world. There's a fight and a struggle that goes on. Christ is still a stumbling block to the world. And we see that just in different ways. In the way that some people find offense at Christmas greetings, no longer wanting to use that phrase, "Merry Christmas." The sad fact is that even some churches today have canceled their services because Family's more important. But Christmas is not just a holiday. Christmas is not just about holiday cheer. There is an analogy that we used before about the manger scene. Instead of a peaceful manger scene with gentle Mary and the peace of a warm barn with Joseph and the child who is sleeping quietly in a manger, a scene of serenity and tranquility, as the shepherds also are holding their staffs and making their way to the barn. Instead, it's more like a fiery red dragon with a gaping mouth trying to devour the fearful woman in her clutching and her child that's clutched in her arms. But that's the reality. The startling effect of Christ is opening up the thoughts and the hearts of people. He opens up your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows whether or not you trust Him. He knows whether or not you love Him. The startling effect of Christ is the rising and the falling of many. Some people will rise. Some who we may have expected, but also some will fall. Some who we never expected. And these will be the ones who will fall. This is also the way that the Lord continues to work in every generation, in our time as well. The question is, do we know about this conflict? Do we know about this struggle between Christ and the serpent, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness? Do we sense that ourselves? What do we think of Christ? Do we see Him as Simeon did, a Savior? Do we love Him like this? Or do we neglect Him? Do we stumble at His teaching? Or do we find life in Him? As that one song says, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch their keeping." Another chorus of that hymn goes, "Nails, spears shall pierce Him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary." Let's always find our peace in Him on this Christmas and throughout our whole lives. Amen.